Let's go to Acts chapter 10. We're preaching a series called Acts Alive. And we're going to complete chapter 10 this morning. And this is Peter Popped the Paradigm part 2. Last week we saw how God had prepared these people. In the last couple of weeks we've talked about it actually. How God gave a miraculous twin vision. There are only a few of those recorded times in history where God gave a twin vision to each participant in the miracle. And in order to prepare the hearts and prepare the way, God prepared Peter to bring an answer to a man named Cornelius who was hungry for God. Can you say hungry for God? The Jews came to hate the Gentiles. The Gentiles hated the Jews for hating the Gentiles. And God our Father loved them all. He wanted to expand his family. The Jewish Christian church was on a roll. But God was getting ready for a new beginning. And getting ready to open a new door to people that weren't necessarily welcome. Saul or Paul couldn't be the one. He was already hated by the Jews. He had so defended the Jews and had so ramshackled, if you will, and run down the Gentiles that when he switched his life, when he surrendered to Jesus, when God knocked him down by the light and he surrendered to Jesus, he immediately went out and started talking to anybody he could about Jesus. Tried the Jews first, but then the Gentiles were responsive. He was now a hated man by the Jews. So God uses a unique vessel named who? Peter, who's called the apostle to the Jews. And God knows exactly who to use and how to use him. Interestingly, we will pick up a story on Paul in Acts 13 because the first part of the book of Acts up to that point really is primarily led, the early church, by Peter. And then we see the second half of Acts, or from 13 on, primarily our character is the Apostle Paul. He was considered hard-nosed, passionate, alive, a leader, no question where he was headed. And Paul was bound to do the will of God, and he was far more concerned about doing the will of God than placating people. Can you say amen? He wasn't always worried about placating people. In fact, I'm not sure he was ever worried about placating people. He was just a strong man, but God used him with his gifts. He concerned himself less with consensus than with doing what he considered the will of God. But more of Paul later. We're at a tsunami change. We're at a miraculous change. We're at a rumbling Mount St. Helens earthquake kind of change in the body of Christ, which was a young, fledgling, Jewish, Christian church. But God's trying to say, guys, I'm going to pop that paradigm. I'm going to blow those speakers. I'm blowing my way out of that box because there's people that need me, and you've got to look beyond your prejudice and look beyond your hate and look beyond those people that tradition taught you to hate and see people that need me. By the grace of God, God our Father looked down the corridor of time and he saw you. Say the word me. Say the phrase, God saw me. Aren't you glad? Tsunami. God saw me. Sue knew me. God had been preparing Peter to obey God, and God prepared a hungry man. And God did it all in just the right time frame to bring a miraculous change. Let's look at a five-point message this morning. Number one, Cornelius waits. Cornelius waits, and our scripture will be Acts chapter 10. We'll begin in verse 23 this morning, and we will complete the chapter with verse 48. Acts chapter 10, 23 rather, through 48. But right now, I want to look at Cornelius waiting. Acts chapter 10, verses 23 through 27. Then he invited them in, I'm reading from the New King James, and he lodged them, meaning the Gentiles. On the next day, Peter went away with them. And some brethren from Iope, is actually how it's pronounced, but from Joppa, accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now, Cornelius was what? Waiting for them. And had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter, I think that's fantastic. I love that. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. A paradigm shift is underway. Peter invites these people in where he was in Joppa, and he lodges them. Now, to the devout Jew, you have to understand that alone is tantamount to heresy. Him lodging these Gentiles under the roof of a Jewish man was anathema to the Jews. Now, a good Jew might have a few commerce activities with a Gentile, but certainly not invite them to bread with you, certainly not invite them to lodge under your roof that night. Neither bed nor bread was allowed. And what we have here is a crack in the paradigm wall. Now, we go on. Certain brethren accompany him. That's pretty cool. You find out later that six other brethren go with Peter to Caesarea to meet with Cornelius. He didn't just grab one witness. He's got six others. So he got seven Jews walking down the road to this Gentile's house. By the way, biblical numerics, seven is the number of completion. So God's after a complete work being done to tear down the prejudice, to tear down the walls, the divide, to tear down this old paradigm and to pop it and destroy it completely. And he's got seven Jews hiking down the road toward a Gentile's house. Fantastic picture. Get it in your mind. These Jews weren't supposed to have anything to do. They didn't even want to touch these people. That's why God three times had to tell Peter, don't call common or unclean what I have cleansed. Three times. And by the third time, Peter's gone, I perceive God's talking to me. Because this was such a radical shift of thinking. Interesting. But see the phrase in verse 24, Cornelius waited for them. He had called together family and friends. I love this. Waited is the Greek word prostergaho. Prostergaho. He's an anticipation. He's awaiting. He's expecting. He's expecting something. When you're pregnant, ladies, we say you're expecting. What are you expecting? Deliverance. You're expecting to be set free from this labor. No, more than that, you're expecting the gift of life to come. And these guys are expecting, anticipating the gift of life that is to come to them. Cornelius is literally brimming with expectancy. Can you see him? Can you see him sitting there or walking around? I wonder when they're going to get here. I know they're coming. Come on, can you see him trying to calm down the crowd? We've been here for 8 hours now, pal. Where are they? Where are they? They're coming. They're coming. Interesting. Cornelius, his faith is swelling, his expectant, hungry heart is, you see the commercial about the hungry man's TV dinner. It's bigger than everybody else's. That one commercial where the guy eats a pound and a half of meat because he's got the hungry man TV dinner. Well, this is a hungry man who's waiting for God. God's got to do something, and he's expecting a big portion from God. In fact, listen, do you know how cool this is? God says, go get Peter. He's going to bring you the words of life. And he just couldn't keep it to himself. He so believes what God told him. He goes and rounds up all the neighborhood. He goes and rounds up his friends and his family. Listen, God's going to do something so powerful, so great. I don't know what God's going to do. Well, what's God going to do? I have no idea. I just know it's going to be good. Peter's on the way. How do you know Peter was on the way? My servants are coming back. They've got him. How do they know? How do you really know? He believed God. What does the book of Hebrews tell us, Christians? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Huh? He who believes God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Now, Cornelius diligently sought God and did not yet know him. He's not a saved man. There's more to come. But he's seeking God, and he's seeking God, and he's hungry. He wants something different in his life. So God says, there's an answer. Go get Peter. He'll tell you the answer. It wasn't soup yet in Cornelius' life, but the boil was on. It was bubbling because there's heat and passion, anticipation, expectation, and faith. Cornelius believes God. And God says, I see that hunger. I see that faith. Now, interestingly, his hunger wasn't just for knowledge. Cornelius didn't just send out for a teacher because he wants his theology straightened out. A lot of people want a heady walk with God. The Bible says knowledge puffs up. If what you want is just knowledge without an experiential walk with God to put that knowledge into play, you're only going to get half the story and you might just blow up from pride. I know more than you. Yeah, but you bear any fruit? What's the fruit in your life? Does it demonstrate you're walking in the truth you've learned? So he's hungry for God, not just for theology. He's hungry for God. He believes his servants will return. He believes the word of God that Peter's on the way. He believes the message is important enough to go round up his friends and his family. Come on, come hear what God's going to do. Remember anybody from the Old Testament who was like that? Remember Rahab the harlot? They go in, the servants or the spies go in, and they're going to take over the new land. And Rahab the harlot lets them know which way is the best way. And they say, okay, we'll spare your life. Let down, oh, this is full of meaning. Let down a scarlet thread in your window so we'll know you are the one we want to spare. A scarlet thread. A crimson stream. The red blood of Jesus brings salvation. Let down a scarlet thread through that window and salvation will come to this house. But Rahab was so excited she didn't keep it to herself. She gathered together all her friends and her family. They were all under that same roof. Isn't that interesting? Interesting. Nevertheless, he wasn't simply keeping it to himself. I want to ask you a question, Door of Grace. Do you believe God is moving? Do you believe God is real? Do you believe God's got a message to bring deliverance and help to people? Do you believe Jesus is the answer for this region? Come on, I said, do you believe that Jesus is the answer for this region? Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. I said that Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Is he or is he not? Come on, church, I'm asking you a question. Is Jesus the way? Is he the truth? Is he the life? Is he the answer for Port Ludlow? Is he the answer for Jefferson County? Is Jesus the answer for Washington State and for America? We can't even get our elections voted correctly. We can't get our tallies right. But Jesus is the way. Really believe that? Now, interestingly, when Cornelius had that kind of excitement burning in him, God's got an answer and it's coming. He went and gathered up everybody. Guess what, evangelists? Guess what we get to do? You don't have to be a perfect evangelist. You just need to reach out. Hey, come to church with me. God's on the move. God's on the throne. God's got an answer for you. Hey, you know what? You're hurting. My church will pray for you. You're hurting, you got people who will love you. You're confused? Well, join the party. But we're getting answers. Do you really believe? And does your belief remain in the realm of theology, or does it put itself into how lovely are the feet of them who bring good news? Well, if all we do is take good news to each other, we have a nice party. But there are people out there who need your good news. On your neighborhood. In your block. In your block, on your neighborhood. Nevertheless, in your neighborhood, around here, there are people that need Jesus. Cornelius gathers people together. Interestingly, when Peter walks in, Cornelius bows to worship him. He literally falls at his feet. You know what that story tells you? You know what that phrase tells you? Here's a man who's ready to humble himself and worship. Now, he worshiped the wrong guy, and so Peter just takes him by the hand. You can just see him take him by the hand. It's okay, buddy. I'm a man just like you. It's okay. There's a bigger answer here. He didn't allow him to worship him. But he said, I got an answer coming. But here's a hungry man named Cornelius. He said, God's got an answer for me. Can you just imagine? He's waiting. It took about 4 days. 2 days to get to where Peter was. 2 days to get back. The scripture tells us it took 4 days. Can you imagine the bubbling anticipation and the eager excitement, the desire? And can you imagine Cornelius has got a household by now? They didn't have telephones, cell phones. They didn't have computers to IM each other or to send a message going, hey, we're on the way. We'll be there in a little while. He just gathered a whole bunch of people in his house by faith. Keep feeding them. The servants come up, hey, when are they coming? I don't know, just keep feeding these people. You know, but he's coming. And think of the vindication. Think of the emotions that Cornelius might have felt when they come through the gate. Oh, they're here! There are a lot of reasons for that excitement. Number one, he's vindicated. He wasn't crazy. He didn't eat a bad pizza the night before. But the angel was right. There was a Peter at Joppa's house, or in Joppa, at Simon the Tanner's house, and Peter's here. And he's come to my house. So the rest of what God told me is shortly about to come to pass. Think of the excitement. He believed God. Cornelius waits. The message he's to receive is too good for himself. He waits, he worships. Number two, Peter applies. Number one, Cornelius waits. Number two, Peter applies. Let's look further. Acts 10, 28 through 29. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man, Cornelius, to keep company with or to go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man, say the phrase with me, common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection. Now wait a minute. Do you think that tells you a story? You bet it does. God's already changing Peter's paradigm. He's popping paradigms. God's already reaching Peter's heart because he's been through the objections with the sheep vision. The unclean animals rise up and eat. No, 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 I wouldn't do it. And God says, don't call unclean. Don't call uncommon or common. Imagine what was going on in Peter's heart as he's walking 2 days to Cornelius' house. I wonder what they talked about. I wonder if the Gentiles were walking in one group and the Jews were over in another group. You know, okay, you stay on that side of the white line and I'll stay on this side of the white line. Of course, there weren't white lines, but that side of the bricks are yours and this side of the bricks mine. And don't touch me. I'll go to your house, but don't touch me. What was going on? We don't know. But God had reached Peter in such a way that he says, I'm coming without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked them, Cornelius, for what reason have you sent for me? Folks, Peter's theology is stretched, but his theology moves right into the realm of quick obedience. It wasn't just a truth he got. It was a truth he immediately began to live. He doesn't have time to convene a theology conference as to whether or not he heard correctly from God. He's got time only to put it to obedience, because God gave him a vision that people were coming to the door and there was a man who needed what he had to say. And now here Peter is, face to face. His prejudice is literally crumbling. We've talked about it the last couple of weeks. All I hope is that you recall it. It was huge, this prejudice against the Gentiles. Gentiles had overrun them, skinned them alive, killed their children, wiped out and raped their women. And now I'm supposed to go bring a message to the Gentiles. It's unlawful. It's unlawful to keep company with you. That word is the Greek word athemotis, and it means literally illegal. It is illegal for me to be here with someone unclean. And that literally means foul, impure. How many of you know on this side of this story, how many of you understand no one is unclean just because they're from a certain nation or a certain race? How many of you understand that? Do you understand that the people in Iraq are not unclean because they're from the nation of Iraq? That Muslims aren't unclean because they're Muslims. God wants to radically reach their heart for Jesus Christ. How many of you understand that it's not Native Americans and it's not Caucasians, it's not black, it's not Jew, it's red or yellow, black or white, all are precious in God's sight. God sees all the colors and he goes, I created them, I love them, they're mine. It's man that builds walls and God builds doors and windows. Door openers, not door closers. It's not because someone's from a certain nationality that they're unclean. It is the heart of men and women that makes the difference. This is huge for this Jewish mind to grasp. Now, the Bible background commentary said this: devout Jews would not enter into idolaters' homes lest they unwittingly participate in idolatry. To go into a Gentile's home, they felt they were participating in idolatry. Do you follow what I'm saying? And they extended it to mean don't eat with them, don't drink their wine. But Peter says, I come to you without argument. Folks, it's one thing. It's one thing in the comfort of your own home on Sunday afternoon to say, I saw a fresh revelation. God taught me something today. It's one thing in the comfort of your comfortable chair to say, God taught me something. It's another thing altogether to get up and put feet to what God taught you. You understand the difference? It's a big difference. It's how we live our lives. Christianity is a great theology. It's a very loving theology. It's loving, yes, even judgments and heaven and hell is a loving story because God doesn't want people to go to hell. For God so loved the world, say it with me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the purpose and heartbeat of God. It's a loving thing to understand the truth. But we've got now life coming. So what do we have? We have, number one, we've got Cornelius waits. Number two, we've got Peter applies. He's applying the truth. He's putting feet to his theology. Number three, Cornelius requests. Cornelius requests. Number three, Acts 10, verses 30 through 33. Verses 30 through 33. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner. Man, this is awfully accurate stuff right down to details, isn't it? And send therefore and get him. He's lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. Now, look what Cornelius did. This hungry man waiting for an answer from God. So I sent to you, speaking to Peter, I sent to you, say the word with me, immediately. And you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Peter is there because of a hungry man's prayer. And we've got Cornelius now rehearsing what God did. Can you imagine how meaningful that was to Peter to hear this man's vision? Peter didn't necessarily know all the details, but he goes, and now this man says, I was waiting on God. I was praying. I don't even know what's going on. I don't know what to do. But Peter, an angel came and he said, go get Peter. Well, how do you think that made Peter feel? Probably pretty good. You mean this wall's crumbling further, this wall of prejudice, this wall of division. You mean God spoke to this Gentile? You could scoff at it, but God gave him Peter's name. God gave him Peter's address. You want to know a little aside? It's a good thing to fear God if you don't think God knows you and right where you're living. How would you like that if you're in the middle of doing something bad and God says to someone, I want you to go get Kevin and he's on the corner of Maple and Oak Bay Road. And they knock on the door and say, I was praying and God sent me here to your door. Isn't that precious? God knows. And he knows Cornelius's heart. And he knows how he's working with Peter. I don't know how to make this real enough to you. The crumbling pride in Peter's heart. He'd been through so much pain already. He knew he failed the Lord. He didn't want to fail him again. You know, the sheep comes down, he says no to God twice, and God keeps working with him. No, I'm bringing the sheep the third time, Peter. You got to pay attention to me, boy. You know, remember Foghorn Leghorn and the old, you know, pay attention to me, boy, you're always talking. And, you know, yeah, well, Saturday morning cartoons, okay? But Peter knew by this man's rehearsal of what had taken place that God was on the throne. He knew that God prepared the way. Cornelius requests. God wants to move and meet this man on a new, precious level. God wants to satisfy this man's hunger. Now, I've got a point to make. How many of you in this room, I really want to see a show of hands. How many of you in this room would love for God to do a miracle in your life? Come on, let me see. You want God to do a miracle in your life? Yeah. One instruction. You have to cooperate with God in receiving the miracle. That can look different in your life than it looks in mine, but you have to cooperate with God. Say, cooperate. Whether it's rehearsing the scriptures, whether it's rehearsing to yourself and others what God has shown you, whether it's holding on to His promises, whether it's going around quoting the scripture that says, by His stripes I'm healed, I'm saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Whatever it is, whether you need to walk around because you got condemnation coming on you, you need to be able to blow the enemy off your shoulders and say, I'm forgiven in Jesus' name. This relationship is restored in Jesus' name. God knows what He's doing and I believe Him. Cornelius requests. Next, Peter preaches, Acts 10, 34 through 43, a largest section of Scripture this morning. Peter preaches. Peter opens his mouth and he says, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Tsunami in the spirit. Prejudice breaking, crumbling. Walls of the nation, don't even touch these Gentiles. Don't eat with them. Don't drink with them. Don't go to their houses. Be a good Jewish man. And the early church is all Jewish Christians. And the Gentiles, they don't have any part in this. Wait a minute. God's speaking to a Gentile. God's asking for me to go be with this Gentile. And my goodness, I just had to put Gentiles up in Simon's house and I had to eat with them. And what are you doing, God? I don't even want to be here. We don't see that. I perceive God shows no partiality. In every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace, through whom? Through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Now it's interesting, Peter emphasizes that. He is Lord of all. Peace comes through Jesus. He's Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which He did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day, showed Him openly, not to all the people, but to some witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with Him after He arose from the dead. And He commanded us to preach to the people. That didn't mean just some of the people. That didn't mean just people who look like you. That didn't mean just people who live in your town. That means everybody needs to hear the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and He brings peace, He brings deliverance, He brings forgiveness. Jesus Christ brings salvation and liberation from sin. Preach this message. Commanded us to preach to the people, to testify that it's He who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To Him all the prophets witnessed that. Say it with me. Please finish the phrase. Through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sins. Now consider the fact that in Israel, with His Jewish brethren, He can't find this same kind of hunger all the time. There's a Gentile who wasn't supposed to be in on the inner track who's got more hunger than most of his brethren. Theology now becomes practical. Can you imagine, Peter? Now we got the wow factor going. Spell it backwards, it's still wow. Can you imagine? Wow! Put it upside down, mom! Big deal. Wow! Look what God is doing! Imagine all seven of these Jews standing around going, popped my paradigm. Maybe they didn't say that exactly, but that's what happened. Peter and other witnesses, you know, can you imagine Peter? Good thing I got other witnesses here, man. Nobody back home's going to believe this. Aunt Matilda would never get this. Got to have some witnesses to tell the story. They didn't have videotape. They didn't have cameras and microphones. They had to rely on the confirmation of witnesses. The entire prejudice literally implodes and crumbles before Peter's eyes. And he finds a new respect for the hungry heart of people. By the way, I want to emphasize again, hunger alone is not salvation. Hunger leads to salvation. Peter says, I perceive. Katalambano. You know what that word literally means? I perceive. Katalambano. And the Greek word means, Peter is saying, I eagerly take, I'm apprehending, I'm literally perceiving it, I'm taking this in. God is no respecter of persons. God's doing powerful things. Will you take a look? Can you imagine him punching these other six guys? Look at this! We would never believe this! Look what God's doing! It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. But praise God, we get to be here to say it. He's literally saying, I eagerly see and I'm grasping. And in today's terminology, Peter would be saying, I'm seeing one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life. God's no respecter of persons. Prosolapastase. He is not an acceptor of a face. He is not a God who exhibits partiality. It's not God who's prejudiced. It's humans who are. And God sees the fear of this man, and he receives and he respects his works of righteousness, and he respects that. If people never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the book of Romans tells us in chapter 1 and chapter 2 that people are judged according to their conscience and whether or not they've obeyed right and wrong according to their conscience. That's why our mission is to preach the gospel, though. So people do hear the good news of Jesus. And if you've heard the good news of Jesus and flipped your back on him, I don't want to be in those shoes. I want to be as close to him as I can. Anybody here? Say amen. God isn't prejudiced. But God has a bigger answer. This man, Cornelius, wasn't saved because he was hungry, wasn't saved because of his good work. He needed the rest of the story. And Peter says, peace is found in whom? Jesus Christ. All of us need to surrender to Jesus as Lord. Remember, it says peace is found in Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. What does Lord mean? What does it mean? Big boss, master, the one in charge. When it comes to who's in charge, is it you or God? I can guarantee you, if you're wrestling, you might as well give up the wrestling match. God's going to win. Okay? Make life easy on yourself. Go, I surrender. Come on, raise your hands with me. Can you say it? I surrender. I give up. Uncle! Or God! Yeah, Father! Repentance, remission of sins, salvation, forgiveness. The Greek word aphesis, freedom. Bound by sin. Anybody in this room ever been there? Bound by sin. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get free. And he says, freedom is in Jesus Christ. Cornelius needed something more. So Peter preaches. Now, point number five. God moves. Say, God moves. Cornelius has cooperated with God. He's obeyed. He's sent his servants to go get Peter. Peter's come. He's gathered a household. They're sitting there. They're ready. Oh, God, I'm ready. Do it, do it, do it. Whatever you're going to do. He's seen and he's done everything he knew how to do to cooperate with God in getting his miracle. He didn't get lazy. He says, immediately, I sent for Peter when I knew what to do. Immediately. I hear you, God. He's hungry. He's obedient. He sees. He sends. Peter sees and he goes. Now God shows up. The beauty is you don't see Cornelius striving. You just see him obeying. You don't see him running around the party going, what else do I need to do? I don't know. You don't see Peter going into this house going, oh man, I don't know what to do. What else do I do? God says, you cooperate. You do what you know you need to do. I show up. Now, how many of you understand it doesn't always happen in our timetable? How many wish it did? Okay, yeah, sure. Let's go to Acts 10, 44 through 48. And while Peter was still speaking this word, fantastic. I just love God. I love this. This is just powerful. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were, what's the word? Astonished. Say the word with me. Astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter answers, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Can you hear God in heaven going, ta-da! You got it, buddy. The Holy Spirit is here for everyone. If people will simply yield their lives, if they'll surrender, if they'll convene, if they'll listen to the message of Jesus, there's forgiveness, there's redemption, there's deliverance, there's freedom. The Holy Spirit is poured out. God knows just how to move. Hallelujah. Can you say amen, church? I don't care if we're 20 or 5,000. Can you say amen and rip the roof off? Amen. Come on, a little louder. Amen! Put a little black in your soul. Amen! Doesn't that feel good? Feels delivering, doesn't it? Punch your brother or sister sitting next to you and say, amen! Holy Spirit falls while Peter's preaching. That was really cool. Can you imagine Peter? There's a couple of ways he could have responded. Hey, wait a minute, I wasn't done. That wasn't Peter. So, man. It's fine, I'll have to finish my sermon. You do it, God. Do it. Just do it. Just do it, God. Come on. Aren't you hungry for God to just do it? Move, Lord. Move. There's something more than what I'm living. There's something more than what I'm understanding. There's a kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. There's a kingdom living, and there's healing and power and forgiveness and deliverance. There's something more than what I've got. Oh, God, won't you do it? Hear. Obey. Receive. How many of you know God seizes hold of hungry people? Now the paradigm is completely popped. It's completely broken. Paradigm's popping all around the room. Jews were astonished, which means they were literally out of their wits. They became insane. That's literally what the Greek word means. God delights in showing himself as God. Now, real simple point. I've made it before in the church. But the scripture tells us they knew the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, had been poured out on these people. Tell me how they knew that. They heard them speak with other tongues. It is a New Testament, beautiful, wonderful gift of God. It is something to move toward, to receive. Cooperate with God in your miracles. Let somebody pray for you if you haven't received it. It's a wonderful, fantastic gift. They knew the Holy Spirit was there. It's all through the Scriptures, and we'll take a look at it in a couple of months as we go. But the Spirit of God was there. It was moving and changing life. It just poured out on people. And Peter says, you just see Peter going, well, what else is there to do? Let's get them baptized in water. The scripture says, what must I do to be saved? Remember, repent, be baptized, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Come on, one more time. Repent, be baptized, receive ye the Holy Ghost. What's fantastic about this is one man's hunger and another man's obedience combined together to destroy a paradigm and open the church of Jesus Christ to everyone. Door of grace, we are here this morning because of a man named Cornelius who was hungry and a man named Peter who was obedient. It opened the door for you and me. I just sit and I'm thankful as you open up the door of a little bit of history and you go, God, one man's hunger and one man's obedience allows me to be here this morning. My grandfather was a minister. He died before I was born, loved Jesus with all of his heart. I was born a premature blue baby, had a hole in my heart, head full of yellow jaundice. My mom didn't know whether to feel sorry for me or love me. But she gave me to Jesus. I'm here because some people loved me enough to give me to Jesus. We're here because Cornelius was hungry and Peter was obedient. And Jesus went to a cross to give us all opportunity for forgiveness, deliverance, freedom, for the Spirit of God, and for revival. God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. It's a lot more than Sunday morning church. Do you see? You're tapped into the heart of God and His purposes to bring His kingdom on earth. It's a lot more than squabbles. It's a lot more than stubborn. It's a lot more than defense. It's a lot more than independence. It's a lot more than control. It's all about Jesus being Lord and bringing life and deliverance to this earth. It's a bigger picture. Well, there's one other little phrase. At the end of this verse, after their time of revival, that opened up to them as well. And it's a very important little phrase. How many of you know what that last phrase is that I have not yet read? Can you read it out loud? Then they asked him to stay a few days. They basked in the overflow and in the afterglow of revival in fellowship. Our time of fellowship is not just social church. It is a crucial part of the gospel. It is a crucial part of being a church family. It is a crucial part of strengthening each other in the Lord. Loving Jesus and loving each other. Now, where are you today on your way to the miracle that God has for you? Are you hungry for God to move in your life? Are you hungry enough to take time and say, okay, Lord, open my ears. Let me hear what you want me to do. What are the next steps? If God has shown you those next steps, will you choose to obey Him and take them? Maybe it's humility. Maybe it's a need to repent of pride. Maybe it's a need to come to your knees and admit to someone else, as Pat did, I'm needy, would you please pray for me? Would you be that tender-hearted to say, I don't have all the answers. I don't have it all together. I'm not the smartest on the block, and that has nothing to do with it anyway. All I know is I'm hungry for God to move in my life. Come on, church, can you say amen? I'm hungry for God to move in my life. I'm willing to overcome my reluctance. Maybe I don't want to reach out to that neighbor. Maybe I don't even like that neighbor. Maybe there's prejudice against him or there's walls against her. I don't even want to be the one to reach out to him. Okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll reach out and be obedient. And as you do, God can bring revival to that person's life. And when He uses you, you have the joy of revival in your own life as well. There's nothing greater than to simply be an obedient vessel and watch God move on the person you pray for. Perhaps it's simply time to receive your miracle in the name of Jesus. Hear, obey, receive, and let Jesus pop your paradigm.